Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey, BA fam, Mandy here. Or Mandra. You can call me Mandra. That's fine. I have a simple request for you guys. We get so many questions on how you can support the show, and there's really a very, very simple thing that we need you guys to do. Open up this app, open up wherever you're listening to this podcast right now, and subscribe if you have the ability, especially those of you who are on iTunes. We're really making a push to get the show more visible. You've seen that we've partnered with a fabulous new network called Westwood One, but we also need the support of our listeners. So if you are a listener, a loyal listener, please subscribe. And if you haven't yet, take a few seconds and leave a 5-star review. And even a written review would be the icing on the cake. But at least subscribe. Leave us a 5-star review and continue to support the show. This is so, so crucial. It is basically how we tell the internet that our podcast is worth promoting and featuring and getting charted. And we deserve to be at the top of the charts, just like any other show out there. We can't do it without your support. So thank you very, very much. Subscribe, like, and review the show. And we thank you so much.
Hey, we're back, we're black, we're brown and bison. Hey, Mandra.
Rock and roll today. I am not mad at that. Hey.
Mandra, did you get your, did you drink tea last night?
Do you know what? I had more tea than I can take. I've been sipping on that. It's the Meghan Markle brand of tea.
I love Meghan Markle. I like the dark blend, if you ask me. Meanwhile, my accent is the worst. Yeah,
what is...
Oh, my gosh. So, full caveat, I did not get a chance to watch all of it because, I mean, I didn't know it was going to be so juicy.
Honestly, really?
I saw they were going to do an interview, and I was kind of like, okay, so what? And then I saw afterward that everybody was going crazy, and I had to wait till today, and I just started watching it today. So you're going to have to, like, you know, really fill me with, like, the main stuff. But the things that I did see, I was like, oh, no, say it so.
I love that you assume that I did watch the entire thing, which is true. I had that shit DVR'd. Like, I actually, we never use our cable, but I'm like, give me that remote. I couldn't even find the regular TV remote. I was like tearing apart the living room looking for it. And I was like, how do you record something? Quick. And I was so afraid because the mom brain is so intense that I even had to send, I did an additional Apple like reminder. Remind me at 7:55 that the Meghan Markle and Oprah special's on.
Wow.
And when the alert came up, it said the opera special. So that's how you know. But I was like, what? Oh, yes. Let's go.
She's like, great opera. What do I care? Yes.
I sat down and watched 2 hours with commercials. And you know what? If you're watching it live last night with me, I actually needed those commercials, like just for me and my cousin. Ooh. Anna to just like, you know, go back and forth and check Twitter or whatever. But it was big. It was big. Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt very emotional watching it, way more than I thought I would.
So I'll share with you like the things obviously that everybody's kind of sharing, like the discussion of what Archie's skin color might be. Who do you think said that?
I know they were so right. So Meghan, what I liked about the interview was she went on first for the first hour or so, and then Harry came on later, and she teased it. Well, she didn't tease it. It wasn't like, you know, she just said these conversations were had. And then I could tell when Harry came on later, he was like, yeah, I'm definitely not going to say that. It's way too damaging to that person. Honestly, it could have been anyone of the royal family. But if they're so afraid to damage them, I feel like, you know, William or like his dad, I don't know.
I feel like Prince Charles, because one thing I did read this morning is that Harry cleared up that it was not the queen and it was not Prince Philip. Like, it was not the grandfather that said it. So he made that very, very clear. But you would think, like, that he would be like, it wasn't my brother, it wasn't my father. I don't like Prince Charles. Yeah. I must say it.
I don't really ever think about, listen, the one thing that the interview made me realize is anything I've ever read about the royal family has just probably been a lie. So for me, I don't even know how I feel about any of them. I mean, I have watched The Crown, and honestly, throughout watching The Crown, I was constantly sort of inwardly embarrassed, like, dang, I didn't know all that happened. Or I didn't know all that about Diana either. The most recent series was, you know, featured Diana and her story, and I didn't really know a lot of that either. So I've never really had an opinion about the royal family until Meghan, you know, joined, and then it all of a sudden it became very relevant to me. And I remember being naively excited about the future of the royal family. Yes. And having a black woman in the world, and you know what that meant, and her mother, seeing her mother, you know, alongside the queen, and yes, you know, a black woman in the Buckingham Palace, it meant something to me. And I think what made me so sad was the missed opportunity, you know, for them, for us, for black people around the world. Like Meghan was saying, they had an opportunity to really show their, like, literally the Commonwealth, you know, all these countries that still have the queen on their currency. It's more than just the UK, and they are largely populated by brown people, you know. Mm-hmm. And they had finally someone in the royal family who looked somewhat like them, and they didn't see that as an asset. They didn't support her. They didn't lift her up. They didn't give her any infrastructure. They flung her out into the ether, you know?
Yeah,
and that made, you know, it's very sad.
You know what's so crazy to me? This is what white supremacy is. White supremacy is when a country, a monarchy, is more concerned over the color of what really would essentially be a 1/4 black child than they are about Prince Andrew and his pedophilic ways with Jeffrey Epstein. Can you imagine? Like, you legit have a prince who is literally in a picture with a young woman that he has been accused of raping. And the young woman is here, and she's like, yep, that's me in the picture. And yep, that's Prince Andrew. So it's not like, oh, you know, it's like, yeah. And I mean, that's just one of the women that just have come forth. But that is something to be hushed up and protected. But like Harry's own son, like, because there's some black lineage there, that's the bigger concern. That's why I just don't understand how people don't see that is this. When people say, like, oh, all this race, like Piers Morgan, honestly, he could suck one. Like, all this race baiting, you love to race bait. I'm like, I'm sorry, you have a pedophile, you know, who is getting the full protection of the crown and whatever monies come in from the Commonwealth or whatever they call themselves over there. I don't know. You know, like, he's getting that full protection. But like, I and you could correct me if I'm wrong, but I heard the part where she was like, from the very onset, they said, oh, just so you know, Harry's birthright of his son being a prince, psych, that's not happening. Oh, and also Archie will not receive any security. Why? That's so crazy to me. Like, I just really wonder, like, what is it? Why are there so many people that are just so upset with black and brown people? What is so offensive? You know, like, what is that? It boggles the mind that, you know, that it can even be expressed through a baby, you know, an unborn baby, that's how upset it makes people. So, I mean, I'm glad. At first, I didn't understand why they spoke their truth, and now I understand completely. And yeah, you know, I'm here to, like, I'm here for it. And, you know, I'm sure the people who hated her still hate her. They don't care. But a lot more people are like, oh, wow. You know, I honestly believe, too, that when the queen passes on, I don't know what the state of the monarchy is going to be, because, quite honestly, they don't like Charles over there. So I'm like, you think he's going to be able to hold this together? Huh. Yeah, right. We'll see.
I mean, I don't pretend to know all the rules of titles. I mean, it's completely overwhelming to me. And but that being said, I had follow up questions in the sense of, well, what about, like, isn't it pretty like apples to apples looking at Kate and William's children? Were they given security? And
of course,
it just doesn't. I mean, I was thinking back too to like the presidential election, Barack Obama's first campaign for president, when he had to be given Secret Service detail way sooner than even before he was, I think, even won the Democratic nomination, because that's the level of death threats that they were getting and racial threats of attack. And like that was before he even ran for office. And this is the son of a sitting prince. Do you say that? Whatever. I don't know either.
A sitting prince, astounding
prince, whatever.
But that's just
it
crazy. It
boggles the mind. And is it? And I'm sure race plays into it. And also maybe because she was a American. I mean, she was just so other. You know, how much more other could you get? A black woman from America, like marrying into this family. I mean, Kate Middleton. Sure, she was. Well, I guess, you know,
quote unquote commoner, but not. But still, she at least was English and not biracial. Not American.
The part that really broke my heart was, and first of all, Meghan Markle is a goddamn superhero. Like, how did she keep her silence for that long? Mm. I mean, the fact, like, if, like, people were saying, like, the most hurtful things about mm-hmm. her and lying in the headlines, I mean, that takes, I mean, the pain, like, you could see the deep, deep pain that she was going through, and no one knew. And she couldn't tell anyone. And she tried to tell. She tried to do the right things, you know, reaching out for help. When calling them the firm was really creepy to me. I don't know why. It was just like the firm.
It was very creepy.
She literally, I mean, but truly, I hadn't thought of it that way, but it's true. I mean, the Crown is like a royal corporation. They mm-hmm. were employees of the Crown. They were like C-suite employees. And she reached out to human resources and said, hey, I'm having a mental health care issue. I need support. Where can I find my benefits package? And they said, oh, you don't have any.
Yeah.
Like, and that just, you wouldn't think there's not an ounce of empathy on their end to say, hey, we not only have a new member of the royal family marrying into this who has no idea how this whole situation works, but she's a black woman. And she's going to need additional support, special support, early intervention support. And they didn't have, she didn't even know how to curtsy. Like, what?
Yes.
No one was like, Princess Diaries was a lie. You know what I mean? Like, there was no royal training. Like, this is, and it just, I kept thinking about, and I posted about it today because it was just weighing on me when Meghan said, you know, my biggest regret, the only regret I have is that I believed them when they said they would protect me. And I genuinely think, as women, as black women, that at a certain point in your life, you have this realization. I can't personally pinpoint that was the moment. That was the moment. But it became very clear to me I can go back to high school when I was constantly accused of plagiarizing because I was too good of a writer in high school. And they would accuse me of plagiarizing and they would be like, did you write this? It was in my own damn handwriting, but did you write it? Because back then, you know, we didn't type, but we wrote our essays. Anyway, and for me, it's like, you're going to walk through the world and people are not going to give you the same benefit of the doubt, the same level of care, the same level of respect. Every room I've ever walked into as a black woman, I couldn't trust that I would get what I needed. I had to become an advocate for myself. I had to learn to speak for myself. I had to internalize and accept the fact that I have to work harder, especially in my years, you know, managing a team and learning how to navigate those waters. I had to very quickly tell myself, anytime anyone had a problem with me, well, I can't control that. I have to just keep facing forward. And I knew people will get more angry at me when I speak up. They will send me harassing messages when I have the audacity to criticize them. I'm talking about writers that I work with over the years, threatening me, telling me I would regret ever having the audacity to cut ties with them, like threatening me. And I understood that. And I feel like as black women, we move through the world that way. We can't trust. And when we do trust, maybe we get what we think we deserve. But then always there'll be a time when we're not given what we actually deserve, and that will break our trust. And it was really just crushing for me to hear Meghan's story and then also know how it echoed just millions and millions of similar stories from Black women here and all over the world.
Because, like, you know, Mandy, remember when I spoke out against the event that shall not be named?
Yes.
And how
and that, Confei.
Yeah. And how that founder came at me with everything. Mm-hmm. And I assumed, I said, because there was literally another young woman who started it up. She wrote a blog post about it. She started the Twitter feed of like why I'm no longer going to that conference. She, when I tell you her blog post receipts, vicious, not vicious, but like, you know, like clear cut, concise. So I assume, and there was a bunch of other people who were actively going at him. So I just knew, wow, if I'm getting this, I know they're getting, you know, because he was in my inbox calling, like reaching out to different organizations or different publications that I'd been interviewed with to speak about me disparagingly. I'm like, wow, they must be getting it too. So I reached out to the young woman who, like I said, went at him the hardest. And I was like, hey, she's white. Hey, girl, I know you must be getting it too. It's crazy, right? She's like, getting what? Because how dare you, Tiffany? Literally none of the other women. He went after none of the other women, just me. I did one tweet, that's it. And these women had been dragging him for weeks and weeks and weeks and writing op-eds and this and that. But me, how dare you? It's the same thing like when Harry Weinstein came out and all these women were saying, me too, me too. As soon as Harvey.
I know. Harvey, right? Just wanted not that white guy, the other one. Better, bad guy, good guy, you know. Harvey, yes.
And Lupita Nyong'o, when she stepped up, he said, oh, no, not her. Because how
You're
dare.
Right. Yep.
Remember? Mm-hmm. Not the black yes. one. It's yep. just so, I mean, when I tell you, like, someone asked me the other day, like, what's my favorite part about being a black woman? And I said, honestly, other black women. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, mm-hmm. it is the safest, most mm-hmm. like loving, most community-based space that you can find. Like when you are in community with other black women, it's like a warm hug from your mom, your grandma. It is mm-hmm. like girlfriends. Like, yeah, I mean, you can literally see someone, like literally, you should have seen Mandy. I was showing my sister like your picture on Instagram with your new highlights. She was like, oh, Mandy's clothes is popping. We were just both going, I mean, you're not even there. And we're like, yes, yes, yes.
Love to see other women win, other black women win. Yes.
Yes.
It feels like we're winning, you know?
Yes. It's just yeah. like, so just to see Megan, my concern is, I mean, there's going to be such a huge blowback as a result of this. And I just, when Harry said I could just see history repeating itself, he was right. Like they were yeah. not going to stop until this woman was no longer breathing. And I'm glad that he protected his wife and his family. When he said, I almost cried when he said, well, if all that happened, as hard as it was, at least I had my wife. When he said she didn't have anyone, oh, it broke my heart. Because he was like, this is what my mother went through by herself? Mm. By herself. And she still had to live there. Like, yeah. Mm-mm.
Yeah, I don't understand. You know, I'm obviously not British. Neither of us is. But, and I don't have the, like, it just wasn't a part of my upbringing. Yes, I remember when Princess Diana died, but I don't understand the machine, even as many times as I've watched The Crown and, you know, Harry Potter. And all, it's not about the British family, the royal family. But anyway, like, I'll never really understand what it's like to grow up there and to have them looming large over us all. But I am horrified at how they nearly broke this woman. And I am just, like, astounded by her strength, and I just want nothing but the best for her and little Archie and for Harry too. You know, I wanted to empathize with him. Maybe this is a good like talking point for us is you know, at a certain point in the interview he's talking about how he was shocked and how he was, you know, inside the machine and he felt trapped. And I wanted Oprah to, and she did an amazing job. Lady O, my God, bow down. She did an incredible job with this interview. But she was sort of pushing back, like, you were a royal prince. Like, how were you trapped? You know, how could you not speak out? And I feel like I wanted to empathize with him, but I was sort of like, how could you, why didn't you speak out? Why did it take this long? You know, why? And I guess that's where I feel like I don't really maybe appreciate the mental, like the psychological hold that the royal family could have on people within it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it's like, I'm talking myself through this, and I guess it's like if you're a victim or you're a hostage and, you know, you do things that maybe don't make sense to the outside looking in, mm-hmm. you know? And this, it actually comes up with people who have been abused too. They'll be like, I'll give you an example. I think on the show, I talked about how I had a makeup artist work with me at a previous job. And time after time, I would sit in that chair and he would say disparaging things, little make offhanded remarks that would make me feel bad. And I would continue sitting in that chair like week after week, month after month. And when I finally complained, the first question was, well, why did you wait till now? You know, and it's I don't know how to articulate why, but yeah, I mean, I understand where he's coming from, but I'm like, damn, even a royal prince, you know, when you're in it like that, that is how like big a toxic relationship can stop you from, you know, and for anyone who's been a victim of any kind of toxic relationship, I think it was a good, it's not a good moment, but like, it's time for us to say, you know, we'll never understand what it's like to be in it. We can only be in awe of someone who has the strength to get out of it and then speak their truth. And yeah, I really commend them for that.
Yeah. Whew, it was so, I can't wait to finish watching.
Watch the whole thing. I also recorded CBS News this morning for the from 7 to 9 because I needed a Peloton, but I heard Lady O was on CBS with her girl Gail talking about like the behind the scenes and additional footage. So I want all. There's extra tea, Tiff. You need to like get your full serving and then come back for seconds and thirds.
Yeah. It's just so much. Sometimes I'm not gonna lie, like it will trigger like my latent anxiety. I'm like, ooh, okay. Like, I was going to watch it before I took a nap today, and I was like, you know what? I felt like I was going to, like, dream about it. So I was like, I won't.
Yeah. Before we go, though, I mean, before we switch subjects, what about the part where he said that they cut him off financial? I thought this was, like, the realest. I mean, it's it's hard to, I mean, I don't have any sympathy for, like, a royal prince because he's like, yeah, they cut me off financially, but my mother's trust fund I had. But it's true, like, he was cut off and people made, he was cut off by the royal family, apparently, like, when they, like, last year or the year before when they announced they were, where they were leaving their official duties. So it didn't have money from the crown anymore. And I was like, oh, a prince doesn't have any income. And I guess that's it. Like, they get their income from the crown. So he, you know, when they moved to America, they didn't have a game plan. So they stayed with some friends, you know, on the friend's couch. Yes, the friend was Tyler Perry. Okay. Yes. Which is part of the story that I'm just like, how do they know Tyler? Anyway, why do they know Tyler Perry? Is he like the ambassador? But anyway, but yeah, they stayed on a friend's couch and they were a husband and wife. You know, husband lost his job.
Yeah, that is so, you know? I mean, as real as it's going to get for them. Because, you know, like, none of us would have Tyler Perry.
Yeah,
couch.
Yeah. He had to make it how you got to put food on the tables, got to get his Spotify deal and his Netflix deal.
Yeah, they'll but be fine.
And Megan's like, you know, and I'm so happy for her because you can tell, you know, she was such a vocal advocate for women and girls before getting into the royal family. I'm sure she looked at it as like, wow, I'm going to be on a world stage doing this work on a much higher level. Mm-hmm. And then it was ripped away from her. And now she gets a chance to do that. And I'm really excited to see what they create because I think they're extremely powerful. And I stand for her all day long. I don't have any time for Meghan haters. I didn't know who she was before this either, but we know now.
And I feel like, honestly, I just love to see all the black women. We were all in formation. I was like, yes.
And Serena was like, Serena Williams was like the ringleader.
Girl, she was like, I wish you would. Everyone had their Vaseline and earrings off last night for Meghan.
Yes.
So, switching gears, I don't know if you saw, but I went to the White House virtually. Yeah.
I actually, yeah, it was kind of, yeah, I saw a couple posts from someone who was like, I just got back from the White House, and I'm like, are you gonna do an asterisk where you tell everybody it was a Zoom call?
Okay, virtual. No, okay. I saw some of that was kind of, I was like, no, it's virtual. Everybody knows that. We're virtual. I mean, I was literally, like, I was doing, like, you know, a little pre-roll, like, sit in my chair, you know, but, so, I'll say this. So I just actually just saw an article where the White House is planning to do more of this, like to kind of reach out to influencers. I just wonder what you think about this. Like, you know, like as it, I don't know if I consider myself an influencer, but whatever. Reach out to influencers.
Wait a second. Say that one more time. You're not serious.
No, I guess, you know, when I think of influencer, I mean, I think I have someone with influence? Yes. But influencer meaning like, you know, here's my face cream. Hey, guys.
Your face cream is financial independence and wealth building. That's your face cream? You're a finfluencer. Didn't you know that?
I like that. Ooh.
That's like a thing. Get out of here.
Yes. But I will say that it was a little, I mean, I was glad for it and I was grateful for it. A sister reached out, which was awesome. She's like, oh my God, I'm such a fan of your work. I wish, because, you know, I had some like down and dirty questions about like race and like one of my questions was about like race and the appraisal process. And because I've heard the president talk about it, like that he wants to do something about it. But they were kind of like, eh, they shied away from that a little bit. And so another thing was like, I really wanted to lean into what was going to matter to my audience, which was, you know, how finance and race intersect and in the ways they intersect in a way that are not beneficial to all people, but especially Black and brown people. Mm-hmm. And so there was a little pushback like, well, let's just stick to, I was like, mm. So, you know, I still got some good questions in, but, you know, that was my only, I would say, slight disappointment that I couldn't get nitty gritty with it. They wasn't here for the real.
Well, listen, it was your first big White House interview. You're not a trained journalist. You're not the, you know, to give yourself a break. It, you know, it wasn't an Oprah situation, but.
Oh, but no, but I mean, like it was nice to, I guess, be, thought of. You just don't know who's watching. But then also too, it was nice to honestly, because I still was able to position the questions that people really wanted to know, because I'd posted previously on social, like, what would you like me to ask? And I did get to ask most of the questions that I felt were most pressing based upon what my audience wanted to hear, even if I dialed it back, you know, as far as race is considered. And I mean, the questions, the answers were, you know, very White House. So, you know, that is what it is. But hopefully more of this will happen, that the White House wants to communicate directly with people through people that they trust. And then that will happen more and more, in not just in personal finance, but like across the board.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, if they're knocking on your virtual door, then I'm like, this is the, let's keep following this good feeling. Okay, let's continue in this direction. So that's great. Thank you for representing. I'm sure it must have felt like a lot of pressure, but I'm sure you did great. Where can we check it out? Because it sounds like you got the video.
Mm-hmm. So oh, yeah, the video, it's just like, if you guys check out my, it's on all the socials, but it's probably easiest to watch on my Instagram. Like you'll see like a picture of me superimposed in front of the White House, like, hey, because if nothing else, I'm going to Tiffany.
Well, listen, I have no doubt you will be at the White House. And I'm just going to manifest it. I'm going to be at the White House too, doing something. Maybe just, you know, picking up a package for someone. I don't know, but we'll be there. No, that's wonderful. Speaking of the White House, though, stimmy checks are coming, y'all. It looks like the Congress is going to pass this, what is it, $1.9 trillion, bajillion dollar relief bill. So it was the House, then the Senate, and now it's back to the House, I guess, to do the final passing. And then it looks like Biden might sign it this week. So maybe by the time you guys are listening to this, stimmy checks will be on the way.
$1,400.
And it's going to increase unemployment benefits
by $300,
an additional $300 per week September 6th. And you could be getting your stimulus money as soon as this month.
Yeah, honestly, so many people are just like, you know, at least it's something. Because that's one of the things I pressed him on. Like, well, you know, like, so all these things are great, but what happens when they run out? Because they will, and there still be a significant amount of people who are still not able to financially take care of themselves through no fault of their own. If your industry literally shuts down, like the restaurant industry, what do you do? That's a big concern. And I remember,
rent.
Exactly. I remember those times. Everybody doesn't have, like, I was fortunate. I could say, I'll move back in with my parents. Everyone doesn't have that. Option to say, I'll move back in with my parents. So what do you do? So, yeah, I just can't imagine like what people are going through with families who are just like, so I don't know what to do. And although this is great, this is temporary. But like, what happens when my landlord is like, hey, I also need to pay my mortgage. So, you know.
Well, with this bill, it should extend some rental relief programs and mortgage assistance programs. And also, there's a lot of state-specific programs. So if you're struggling and you need help to, you know, you're worried about covering your rent or your mortgage, I would look, well, first of all, if it's a mortgage, call your servicer and just ask them if they have any programming, and then ask what the particulars are, what the fine print is, all of that. And as far as rent, see if your state has a specific rental assistance program. I was just poking around on Georgia's site for COVID relief, because I was trying to get my dad. You know, my dad's a bus driver in Atlanta. He still is not eligible for the vaccine. And I was I was like, oh, daddy, you're probably just like not reading the paperwork right. But I'm looking at it and I'm like, he's not listed. This man is on a bus every day. I mean, he drives a, what do you call it? The accessoride type equivalent in Georgia. So he picks up people who have disabilities, and he doesn't have dozens of passengers at any given time. It's like a smaller bus. But still, this man, and I've seen him, he has like a cloth mask. They're not like giving him N95s. It's boggling to me. I'm like, how do I protect my dad? And I'm trying to manage everything else going on right now. And I was poking around George's site and I did see a tab for rental assistance. So yeah, I would just say, look and see what's going on in your area.
Yeah. Yeah. I know.
So I needed that sigh.
I know.
It's a lot of weight on us kids too. I will say I'm not the only daughter in this country who is trying to deal with her shit and then try to support her parents. Or especially it's my dad, you know, I feel additional pressure because he doesn't, you know, it's like me and my brother, that's it. But I have a good friend whose parents, you know, they're Vietnamese immigrants, and one owns a small business. The other one worked in a job where they were interfacing with tenants at a apartment building all the time. And the hours and hours she spent trying to help her mom apply for all the PPP program, or what's it called, the small business relief programs, and trying to like help her figure out her income. You know, this is a cash business. So, and she's in New York and her mom is in Georgia. And my heart goes out to all the kids who are helping their parents navigate this and figure out the quote unquote, right, you know, financial choices to make. It's really, really difficult.
It is, honestly. But for example, Superman, his father, had to apply for unemployment, and it took so much to walk him through, because I was even like, how do you apply for unemployment these days? You know, I have not had to do it in like literally 10, you know, 15 years. And so just there's so much.
It hasn't gotten much better, I'll tell you that. It really hasn't. The system was not prepared. It was not prepared, despite what happened 10 years ago, sadly. Yeah.
Oh, well, I know.
Woo freaking sock. Did we even mention Women's History Month?
Today's International Women's Day. Happy International Women's Day. Well, for those of you who are listening, you're late. It was International Women's Day. Yes. My mom actually called me. She was so cute. She's like, Happy International Women's Day. I was like, oh.
It feels like a holiday. It does for me. I feel sparkly today. I feel like just spreading some fairy dust on all the women in my life. I love this day.
Yeah. I was like, do you remember in 2015 when you went to get your award in DC? I was like, what? Oof. Then she proceeded to send me pictures. I'm like, only my mother, only moms keep like such receipts. I was like, oh, this is going to be Mandy. Like my baby Rio, look at all the things. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She told my sister when I was, because once she found out I was doing the thing for the White House, she was like, so, Tracy, I need you to get pictures and recording of Tiffany. And Tracy was like, she's going to be live, mommy. I can't. She's like, hide in the corner. I was like, that's not how that works. Thankfully, they gave me a recording, so I was able to pass it on to her. Because, you can't stunt on the aunties with just saying words. You must show visuals. And so at least that's going to happen. But, I think that, like, International Women's Day, like, you know, we all came. What is it? It's like, it's a Tupac lyric. It's like, we all came from a woman. I can't remember. I'm so bad with rap.
That's accurate.
But you know what I mean? There's a Tupac rap specifically that, like, it's like, I don't know. I think it's for Dear Mama. But basically, like, you know, women are just amazing in our capability of doing things. I was just sharing with someone the other day that they asked me why, you know, not as many women invest or manage their money. And I said, honestly, it's not a capability issue. It's a confidence issue. Mm. And that so many women have been told their whole life, leave it to the boys. They know that, you know, they just have not developed the confidence to be able to do so. But I was sharing with a single mother the other day. I said, you think investing is hard? You know what's harder? Raising that kid by yourself.
Yeah.
You know,
Can't put that on autopilot. Girl. Believe me, if I wish I could. You know how many times these kids have to eat in a single day? And you have to think of something new every time? Like, can I automate the meals? Jesus.
And I was like, so if you are raising this kid by yourself, doing homeschool, working online, making sure they're good, like doing all of this, girl, like it is not a capability issue. It is a confidence issue. But if you can do all this, then investing is nothing in comparison to what you've accomplished thus far. And she was like, wow. I was like, yeah, so put your cape on, girl. Put your cape on and pick up a book, watch some YouTube videos, and start to educate yourself. It's just about confidence. And so I just wish on this International Women's Day, I wish all the women listening to lean into your superpower, which is the ability to do whatever the hell you put your mind to, and know that there's nothing too hard, too big, too complicated for you to master one step at a time.
Amen. And that's exactly what our calling is, Tiffany, is giving that confidence boost. It is recognizing what so many other financial educators or experts who are not inclusive don't recognize, which is when a Black woman walks into your office or a woman of color walks into your office, there's two huge layers of her identity that have created a situation where she does not have access to certain knowledge or doesn't feel she has access to certain knowledge. And we have to recognize that and be empathetic in our positions. And when someone, you know, walks into our office, or we don't have offices, whatever, walks into our virtual world, like we see them. And I think that is why representation in this space is so freaking important. So shout out to you, Tiffany. Shout out to Brown Ambition. Thank y'all for coming to this safe space to hopefully build you. I get the messages from people all the time. I know that we're reaching people and helping them take that first step. And I think the first step is really just saying, like, listen, it's not you. Like, it's not your fault that you don't know this stuff. This system was not built for us. We have got an extra little bit of work to do to get ourselves to the starting line. And when we're there, we will succeed. And that's why, you know, that's why I'm so proud and happy to be doing this show with you.
Yeah. Me too, Mandra. Me too. See, I'm even giving you a hug. And, you know, I don't like hugs.
I don't know. I can't wait to hug you in person.
Oh, no. Let's not do that.
When is that going to be?
I know. One of these days. Oh, well, I've said all I had to say today.
Are you ready for some questions? Impossible. Impossible. Well, let us take a... Ooh, we need to take a quick break, and we have a very special, special announcement about our question system. Come back soon. All right, BA fam, y'all know when it comes to financial advice, you have to trust your source. That's why you listen to Brown Ambition, right? And when I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. I've been a longtime fan of NerdWallet. In fact, I almost work there a couple of times because when it comes to financial experts and writing, they really know how to give you the best reviews of financial products. I honestly wouldn't sign up for a credit card today if I hadn't looked at a review on a site like NerdWallet myself. And honestly, if y'all haven't learned about NerdWallet, you're missing out. And with their help, what could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms of each credit card issuer apply. All right, we are back, ready to take y'all's questions. But before we do, have you guys ever wanted to just like call Tiffany or me, just like call us up and ask us your questions? Anybody? Anyone tired of trying to type your question into a little Instagram box and being like, I want to remain anonymous, and then Mandy forgets to read it, you know, because she's skimming through IG DMs way too quickly? The answer is here. You guys can actually call us now and send us your questions yourselves. I'm so, so excited. All right. So our new producer, Sarah, is listening in. So if I mess this up, Sarah, just let me know. But you guys can call or text this number to have your question hit our virtual voicemail box. And the number is 844-858-8080. Okay. 844-858-8080. Do I sound like the infomercial person?
You do.
So this is going to be in our show notes. Also, you can go to our Instagram. There'll be like a link there for you to leave your voicemail. And I'm excited because we'll actually get to hear y'all's voices here on the air and answer your questions live. Yes. So, or not live literally, but you know, it'll be kind of semi-live. Okay. Isn't that cool?
It's very cool. And honestly, I'm excited because I feel like our audience is just like so awesome. And I think sometimes we need like context that we're like, so we kind of guesstimate some things like, I'm going to assume that you mean this. And I'm going to assume. So it'd be great to just be like, okay, well, we can get more clarity and context so we can give you our best answer.
Yes. All right. Well, let's dive right on in and see y'all's questions. So you remember how usually, Tiff, we like always preface the question segment by saying, you know, we're your financial girlfriends, not gurus. And like, don't come for us if we get something wrong, and always, you know, use trusted financial advisors. Well, here's a good reason why. I made a whoopsie last week, y'all. I made an incorrect statement, which is driving me nuts. So last week, basically, I was, I don't know if I was answering your question or we were talking about something, but I was talking about how we are saving for my son, for Rio, and how I was trying to invest for him and save for him at the same time. And what I said was, we opened a custodial IRA for him.
I thought that was strange. I was like, but
yeah,
like,
yeah,
well,
yeah.
Maybe.
You like, okay, you like can't do that. Can I explain why? You can't do that because with an IRA, a kid has to actually earn taxable income. And as parents, you can open a custodial IRA for them, but they have to earn taxable income.
Yes.
And you can't contribute any more, like 1 cent more than what they earn.
Yes.
To their IRA. So that's not what I meant. A custodial brokerage account, which is just a regular brokerage account, that is a thing. And you can open a custodial brokerage account and put money aside for them. So my bad. And I'm sorry if I confused anybody. And thank you to the listener. I don't have their name up. I should, because I would give you a shout out. Oh, here it is, Martisha. So thank you, Martisha, for calling me out. I deserved it. And hopefully I didn't confuse y'all. And that's why we say, you know, we're humans. And
and if you hear something, because sometimes we're like talking so fast, you know, like we mean something in our head and it comes out different. So we appreciate, quite honestly, for you guys to be like, oh, because we know a lot of you guys are finance nerds like us. So if you hear a thing and you're like, girl, you sure you mean that? Certainly hit us up and let us know.
Absolutely. All right. Here comes a question from an anonymous listener. You'll see why when I get into her question. So she says, I'm a senior case manager working for a nonprofit that has Medicaid billing programs and non-Medicaid billing programs. I have a caseload of 19 clients with mental illness. Last year, I was asked to provide coverage for 7 clients for 5 weeks due to my work ethic, time management, and organizational skills. I agreed to take on the task. They were so satisfied by my work that last month they asked me to provide coverage for 4 more weeks for 3 more clients for the same program. I said okay through the month of February, but I didn't get paid extra for providing this additional coverage. After I completed what I was asked to do, I received an email from my director asking me to extend that coverage through the middle of March. I told her no because I agreed to help just through the end of February. I just can't do it for 3 more weeks. My no was rejected. I now have to do it. They've only offered me 1 day off in return. Is it time for me to look for another job?
Yes.
I feel like they took advantage of my kindness and I'm burned out. Yes.
Girl, yes. Let me tell you something about work. Like from the beginning, I would say to set the clear boundary, because not every job navigates like this. You know, some people will see and say, hey, you know, I know I'm asking you for this. This is what I'd like to give you in return. And then, so for example, sometimes there'll be things that I'll ask the people who work with me. I hate to say work for me because we really work together, that work with me, and it'll be additional. So there was a woman on my team. She's excellent, amazing, just like you sound. And there was additional work that she took on. But then later she came to me. She was like, hey, you know, that's kind of like out of my work title and it's additional work, you know. And I was like, oh, girl, you're totally right. So me not paying her extra initially wasn't because I was trying to get over it. It just because, especially with like, I guess I don't know if you call me a startup still, it's so easy to just pick up work to do work. And so, but as soon as I found out, we remedied it. And I was like, yes, let's go back to when it started so we can give you that back pay. Now, if that's not the reaction, then, and or if you know that's not the kind of environment you work at, like if anyone's just listening, I agreeing to do that without parameters in place, always, always, always ask for, hey, I I'd love to help. So, but what are some of the parameters? Am I going to be available? Am I going to be compensated for this additional work? Will I be able to take additional days off? Like getting that in plan now. And absolutely, girl, they tried it. They played it. Cause what fools? Here's why I don't understand, Mandy. Why does corporate America say, oh my God, Mandy, you are so amazing. You know how I'm going to reward you by mistreating you. Isn't that great? Like what is
You're
it?
You're so good at your job. We love working with you. Can you keep doing that for free?
Yeah. Or just like, and can we overwork you and underpay you and mistreat you? You're leaving. What? Why? So like one of our friends, Mandy, that we know, she's leaving her job after she begged for help and assistance. No. Someone else left and they gave her that person's work. No extra money for you. Please, I'm drowning. Now, she went away for maternity leave. And when she went away, they had to get three people to do her one job. So when she came back and she said, so you see how much it is. Can I help? Have help? No. So recently she found a job that was paying her literally like significantly more. And she's like, sidebar, I'm out. And they were like, no. All of a sudden it's, we'll give you assistance and this and more pay and we'll match you. And we'll, I just don't get it. Like, I guess yeah. I have not worked in a corporate environment. Like, what is that? That, like, let's abuse
well,
our
hey
best
now,
workers.
Well, hey now. This is a nonprofit. It happens everywhere. It doesn't yeah. matter. Like, listen, it happened in the royal family. Megan said, oh, I don't get any mental health benefits or professional development support. Or like, these are basic, like, I don't know. I feel like at the it's an institutional, it's something broken at the level, at the institutional level. It's someone somewhere along the lines, something has been broken and employee care hasn't been taken into account. Because even though like Tiff, like, you know, with the Budgetista, you're put you in any other organization, you're still going to be Tiffany. Like if you run a team of a couple dozen women at any company, you mm-hmm. would manage them the same way you manage them now under the Budgetista, I feel like. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that, like, I think it comes down to people and systems and we need, yeah, and people being allowed to continue doing, you know, something like this. And I don't know what the specific answer is, but people need, like, this interview that Megan, I'll bring it back to Megan and Harry. This was like the exit interview is how I saw it. Like, you left a job, you weren't happy, tell us why. And companies really need to be listening. And if they don't listen, then they'll continue to have, you know, that kind of turnover and, you know, as they should. And yes, you need to leave. You need to take, it sounds like you have amazing skills.
Yes.
In a field that probably has probably has plenty of jobs out there. Mm-hmm. So I wish you had told us what state you're in. Hit me back on Insta. Let me know what state you're in. Maybe sometimes listeners will actually know, yes. Hey, got a job here, got a job there, but it's time. Yeah. It's, if they're not respecting your time and not giving you the support you need, then as long as you're able, move on.
Yeah. Cause honestly, caseworkers are like, cause I have a number of friends that have worked like as social workers and caseworkers, and you guys are always in high demand because it's hard. It's a field that people get easily burned out because it's so stressful. So they're always looking for people. So you do not have to. There are moments when it's like, ugh, girl, it's going to be hard to find a job in that field. And there's, girl, they will gobble you up and find a better place. But it's a good learning lesson because I know I'm the queen of no boundaries until I'm like, wait, now I'm in a corner. They pay me one penny and I come in 365 days a year. What should I do? So I understand because you want to be helpful. You know, but yeah, they tried it. I can't believe they say they denied it. How you gonna ask me?
How do you deny it?
Girl,
yeah. But I don't understand how, audacity. I mean, I'm not, yeah, I mean, this, I'm not in this field, but I'm just like, so I say, here's the line. And you say, oh, never mind that. I don't care about the line. Like, you're going to do it anyway. But if I would say, you know, start saving your coins, start looking for other jobs. And they, and if they have anything to say about it, you know, you can tell them, remember this? Yeah. Goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
And if we need, you know, if you need that, I feel like this is when you're being mistreated by, you know, your partner, and you need your girlfriends to be like, yeah, he ain't shit. You need to move on.
Exactly.
This is that.
This is that.
Yep. This is that. All right. Well, I'm really excited. I hope we get some call-in questions.
Yeah.
Don't be crazy now, okay? Don't go spend minutes and minutes and minutes telling us your life story. Let's, you know, nice questions. Tell us details. Of course, if you don't want to call in, I think we'll still take questions the old-fashioned way. So you can still hit me up on DM or at Brown Ambition Podcast on Instagram and email brownambitionpodcast@gmail.com. But yeah, I'm really excited to hear y'all's voices.
Yes, I am too. I am too. I can't wait. I feel like it's going to be really fun to hear people be like, oh my God. Okay, guys. Okay, so boom.
Did you ever call into radio shows when you were younger? Well, even now, have you ever called into radio shows?
No, not now. But like, I feel like I did maybe when I was younger, like, you know. I don't know.
I thought that's how you got concert tickets. Like, I was so dumb. Like, I didn't realize, like, literally, I thought, oh, I'm never going to go to a concert. I just have to win the tickets. And I would call Q100 in Atlanta and try to get tickets. Either that, or I thought, like, my dad would just go and, like, you know, he'd be like, let's go. But he would always take us to shows or sporting events or whatever the day of it. And he would never have a ticket. He would just get it from the scalper at the parking lot, you know, around the corner. And I would be like, Daddy, just get a regular ticket from the radio. Anyway, where was I? What's happening?
No, but I love that. That, like, that's how, it's so funny how kids have this thing in your mind. You're like, oh, wait, what? That's not how that works? Oh.
When I tell you, you can just go to Ticketmaster.com and buy those Britney Spears tickets. Okay. What's up?
Okay. So now it's time for Booster Break with all our family. Is you gonna boost? Is you gonna break? What are you gonna do, Mandy?
I'm gonna do I feel the need to do a break, but I'm also gonna do a boost on the other side of it. So it's kind of like, you know, just something to just chase the break with something sweet.
Okay.
So
okay.
My break is before Meghan Markle's interview. I think one of the most heartbreaking stories last week was Amanda Gorman's post on Instagram where what is she, a poet laureate? She read a spoken word poem at the inaugural, and she went viral with her amazing poem and how poignant it was. And she's so, so young. She's in her young early 20s and on the national stage, and Oprah blessed her, you know, with ever since she, you know, gave that or read her poem. And she's just become like this beacon of hope and Black girl magic and all of that. And she apparently was walking into her own apartment building last week, and a security officer stopped her and said she looked threatening and wanted proof that she lived there.
Meanwhile,
and
keep going. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Which is, so, and like I said, you know, it just goes back. And again, just more proof that as Black women, you can't let your guard down ever, you know, no matter what you do, no matter how, you can have millions of people saying that you're a national treasure one day. And imagine if that had been a police officer or, you know, a security officer who was, yeah, even more afraid and racist than this guy apparently was, and could have like hurt her physically, you know, or, yeah. You know, and that is that fear that you walk with in the back of your head. You just like the emotional work it takes to just move through the world, be happy, be Black girl magic. You know, everyone wants to say how, you know, cute and shiny Black women are, and we're all trendy now and all of that. But do you have to walk in these shoes every day?
Yeah.
With the fear, the underlying fear of someone will not see me for who I am. They will judge me based on my skin color, or how I look. And so that made me very sad. So my heart goes out to Amanda. And if you want to support her, I would say, go to her Insta, check out her work, see if any of it's for sale and buy it full price. Okay. That's how I would move after that story. And so the other side that I wanted to shout out is my girl, Ava DuVernay. I call her my girl, but I don't know her. She does follow me on Twitter. I love Ava. Ava DuVernay and Issa Rae are just like, and Regina King. Anyway, love them. But Ava DuVernay, she started a whole entire website called Airay Crew. So her production company is called Airay, I think. And her website basically has solved Hollywood's problem for it. Not really solved it, but has a solution for all the Hollywood producers who want to say, oh, there's just not enough Black talent out there to staff our sets and, you know, production crews. Well, Ava has removed that excuse from the table. She has launched Airay Crew, and it's actually like a online directory of amazing Black and brown talent and production crew. So if you are a filmmaker, check out airaycrew.com.
Ooh, yes. Well, when I saw that, I was like, Amanda is maybe 100 pounds. Maybe one of our, that's like, you know, that's just, I mean, honestly, she's so little. She's a young woman. She's petite is an understatement. So yeah, that's just egregious, honestly. Like, it's tiring. So I am going to boost. Speaking of Black girl magic, speaking of doing the things, doing the dag on things, I got an email. I was like, is this real life? I literally woke up from a nap and I looked at my email. And I saw that it was from the NAACP. And I was like, oh, okay. And they said, Tiffany, casual. you have been nominated for an NAACP Image Award. Like Marseille Martin, who's won. Like Morgan Freeman. Like Viola Davis. I was like, is this a real thing? Literally, I was like, because I just woke up from a nap. And I was like, wait, am I dreaming? And so your girl has been nominated for NAACP award. Officially, the nominations would have come out yesterday, but this comes out on Wednesday. And so I don't even know what to do with this information. It's just so exciting. So I was nominated for like outstanding social media personality for using my social media in service to black people, because that's what the NAACP award is for. I mean, yeah, that's what the organization is for. For how I use the Budgetista to help y'all get your money together. But like, honestly, when I did my Googles of like who's won before, it was like mind blowing. So, you know, nomination does not mean win. I'm just glad to be nominated. But you do have to vote. So I would love, love, love your vote. It will be on my social media. So just at the Budgetista on Instagram. You'll see it on Facebook. By now, you'll see it posted. So just go and please vote, because your girl would love to win. Oh, and here's my obligatory. If you have not gotten the book, Get Good With Money, my new book, 10 Simple Steps to Getting Financially Whole. You know, once an episode, I got to remind you, go get good with money. Pre-order. But anyway.
This is book launch month.
It is, honestly. Yeah. It is so crazy. Like, there's just so
also
much
congratulations.
Stuff.
I already congratulated you offline, but yes, congrats. I'm so freaking excited for you. And first of all, wait a second. Can we go back to that part in the show where you said you weren't an influencer, but yet you're nominated for your huge social media? Listen, is this imposter syndrome? You're too good for this. Get over. You're an influencer.
No, I guess I think about influencers like, you know, like here's my lotions and here's my, but you're right. I'm a finfluencer, which I like. I think that's super cute.
And no shade. Like there's, you know, we all have like ashy knees. We need lotion, but we also have financial issues and we need education. So you provide that.
I guess
that
I'm more thinking of myself as like a financial educator or whatever. I don't know. But no, but honestly, I accept that. No, it's just, honestly, Manjo, like, there's been so many amazing things happening, and I feel like, I was just telling this to my my admin, and I was just sharing with her, I was like, you know, last year, I felt like, Tiffany, you're at the end of the beginning. You know, like, as you, like, travel through, or you're working on something, and you're like, oh, okay, like, the first part, like, I think of my life and my journey kind of, like, in three parts. The beginning, the middle, the end. So there's the beginning of the beginning, the middle of the beginning. But last year, I was like, Tiffany, this is the end of the beginning. You have officially put a stamp on it. You are no longer just like figuring it out. You're doing it. You're actually doing it. So I feel like right now I'm in the beginning of the middle. So like, not that all the things that I'm going to be doing have peaked yet, because that would be the middle of the middle. But
I'm following.
You know, so I just feel like I'm at the beginning of the middle. Like I'm going toward, like, you know, whatever the pinnacle of all of this is going to be. And here's the thing, it might, you know, some people will be in the middle for 20 years, 50 years, you know, some people for 5 months, I don't know, you know, but it's just such a, I don't know, such a strange feeling, like, that the things are happening that are happening, just because, I mean, I set out to teach preschool, you know, because I really like teaching and I love the babies. And then I was like, well, I still want to teach, but I want to help other women, especially women that look like me, and let's see where it goes. And it keeps going and going. And so to wrap my mind around it, like, I don't think I still wrap my mind around it. I'm not going to lie, I'm a little disappointed that, you know, there's no physical award ceremony, because that would be insane. Imagine me sitting next to Will Smith. Like, they would not put him next to Will Smith, but, you know, I'd be in the back somewhere. But just imagine if, like, you know, like, it, like, outside was open, I would be at the award ceremony, like, walking the red carpet with Superman. Oh my gosh. So I still told Tracy, my stylist, I was like, girl, I need you to get on, rent the runway, and find me a gown, because I am going to be wearing, I'm going to wear a gown at home.
Yes.
Because they are going to, like, you know, they're still going to be like taping you and whatever, where you are, whatever. So I'm sure they're going to have your reaction, all that kind of stuff. So
when is it?
I believe that it's going to be like, I think it's the 27th. Yeah.
That's of like when?
Of this month. Is that quick?
Wait, that's how quick it is?
Yep.
Okay, I need to fly to vote. Okay, I can't vote till Wednesday.
Yeah, so you want...
Hey, well, Siri. No,
no. Yeah. You're telling Siri to remind
me. Remind me to vote for Tiffany NAACP Award Wednesday at 12 p.m.
Okay, your reminder is set for Wednesday noon.
Okay, got it.
Yes, ooh. I love it.
That is the way. That is the only way things get done. I'm not playing around, Tiffany. I need your Meghan Markle DVR material. Yes.
Oh, thank you. Gave me the Meghan Markle treatment. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, this just the beginning of the middle. So we shall see how far this thing goes. I just feel like, you know, I mean, just look at us, man, Jordan. We're just a couple of girls walking through NOLA, talking about, you know, you want to do a podcast? I was like, sure. And now look.
Well, it sounds like you're really coming into, like, being present in the fun part. Because, you know, I mean, you've been working so hard for so long, and I know you've been working with your coach and all
Dr.
of that
Green,
to just be, to just, like, yes, to feel it. I hope that you're feeling the success. I personally am feeling the joy. Like, genuinely, I feel like every show I'm just, like, gushing, because every win, you know, you're winning so much lately that it feels, it's just buoying. It's like a buoy for myself as well. So I'm super, super proud of you. And yes, I mean, that's a really cool award. That is dope.
It is. Yeah. And like I said, even if I don't, just to be nominated just feels like, and honestly, doing the work is really hard. Like, you know, with Dr. Green and like kind of like cracking open the things that, you know, make you feel sad, but I feel good. Actually, I've been like crying more, but like, you know, like in a normal, like, oh, I'm sad about that. But then like happy again and like my old self again, where like, I, you know, actual fluctuating feelings. Mm-hmm. And it just feels really good to like be present in that and to like, you know, to go through those emotions, because they're natural and they ought to be. And it like feeling sadness when I'm sad allows me to feel happy when I'm happy. And so it's just been really good. And, you know, I encourage anyone, you know, whether it's therapy or coaching or whatever that kind of looks like for you. It's a lot of hard work if you're, you know, I mean, I know not everyone can afford it. Oftentimes, sometimes, like, especially therapy might be covered by your insurance. You should certainly look into it. But it's just so helpful if you're able to kind of, because I don't want to take with me, like, the stuff with me the next 20 or 30 or 40 years. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I want to unpack it now. And, like, I just am excited for, like, what lies ahead.
Absolutely. You deserve it.
Thank you, Mandra. I'm probably
We on our grown-ish. We on our beginning and the middle-ish.
Yes. I love that.
All right. Well, congrats. Okay. I'm so excited. I don't know what to do. Can I watch the NAACP? I don't know how it's going to work. I'm sure you'll have details. I'll check out your Instagram page.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for another wonderful show. I have to go upstairs because apparently my son's having a meltdown because he's teething.
Aww. Yes. I saw him with your microwave. I thought that was so cute.
Oh, where he put the entire Dutch oven in the microwave. Yeah. He loves, he might be like, I don't know. I think all babies like to cook, but he loves watching me cook and he'll, but it's really dangerous to the point where he wants to be held while I'm cooking, which, you know, grease is flying, all kinds of stuff. So I've started just like opening the pots and pans and he'll take them out. And like I opened a little package of baby tomatoes and he, is that what you call them? What are they called? Baby, you know, the little ones.
Cherry tomatoes.
Yeah, yeah, those.
I love them, baby
little
tomatoes.
Little baby tomatoes. And he puts them in the pot and he stirs them up.
Oh,
yeah.
I love that.
It's safe, but now he puts it in the microwave and I'm like, oh, shoot. He knows how to push the buttons.
And I saw that. I said, ooh, Rio has been paying attention. He was like, push the buttons.
When he knows how to do, he's just waiting. He has been waiting, lying in wait all this time. Now he's like, I got the legs. I can walk. I had the height. It's over for these.
He is really tall. He is so tall, too.
Yes.
Oh, he's such a cutie pie. I love those curls. I was like, oh, mama got cute curls. Rio got cute curls.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.